Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, we're very grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. They are listener-supported programs, and so we ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264, or you can go on the web, and now we've provided a way for you to donate right there online, easy access at agradio.org, agradio.org. Well, if you've been with us this week, we are looking at 1 Samuel chapter 7, and what an amazing section of scripture to understand even the Christian life and the challenge of living under a Christian life in struggle with sin and struggle with looking at things as God has defined them for us. Here is Israel. Israel has been hardened in its idolatry for 20 years. They didn't see it. The hand of the Lord had been heavy upon them. And finally, after these 20 years, we left off yesterday, we read that they lamented after the Lord. Finally, they felt the weight. Finally, they cried. Finally, there was godly sorrow that was leading them to repentance. I said yesterday, I don't doubt there are many in this position. Some kind of sin maybe is gripping you or has gripped you for a long time, and God's hand has been heavy on your life. This was David with Bathsheba. How many years will it take to bring tears? How many years will it take to bring humbling in your life so that you would fall and lament after the Lord, realize that you're living without Him? Here's the reality. We will never see it until the Lord opens our eyes, and that's exactly what this section exposes for us. What you have here is the whole pattern of repentance, forgiveness, and the protection that God here gives to the Christian who believes. At this moment, Samuel, for the first time, speaks. And what are the first prophetic words out of his mouth to Israel? Then Samuel spoke to all Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and worship Him only, then He will deliver you from the hands of the Philistines." Do you know this is how God always called His people throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament? The Lord would call His people to return to Him. "Return to me, says the Lord, and I will return to you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." These were all over the Bible. Jesus, this was a heavy focus of His ministry. If you were to go back to the period of the judges, when God was delivering them over to oppressors, He was doing that because they wouldn't listen to His word. And so these oppressors would come. And finally, they would hear the call to return, and they would call out for the Lord to deliver them. It's interesting how Samuel says it here. It reads like this: "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart," in other words, are you? How do you know? How do I know, dear listener? The Lord Himself must do something. Listen, repentance is part of the Christian life. What does it look like? Notice it here. "If you are really returning to the Lord, put away the Ashtaroths and the foreign gods and prepare your hearts and worship Him only, and you will receive deliverance from your enemies." You see, what was the issue for over 20 years? There was deep-rooted idolatry. This was the chief and central sin in Israel. Listen, these gods, Baal, the storm god, was said to provide for crops, and Ashtaroth, whom they thought was a goddess for Yahweh. Perverse, isn't it? And these popular gods of the nations, Israel had united themselves to. They had to do the hard thing and confess that they had fallen into this and turn from it. And that's what the Lord was giving them grace to do. Here's the scene, dear listener. They gathered together at Mizpah. We read, "And they drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day." These actions flowed from their hearts. Pouring out of water symbolized that their hearts had been opened before the Lord, and they were exposing right there, showing forth what comes out of the heart, pouring it out before Him. They were testifying that they were humiliated and grieved by their sin. And what did they do? They fasted, and they said, "We have sinned against the Lord." What is that, dear listener? It's confession. You know, this is what the Lord calls us to do. There are some Bible teachers out there that are saying that we don't have to do this as Christians. And they fall into the category of those who, I guess, from now on say they have no sin. The Bible is very clear. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you see the whole picture presented here? 20 years of darkness, God's glory departed. Finally, after 20 years, they began to yearn for the Lord. They realized how miserable they were without Him, and they didn't even know it. Going through the motions of worship, they were full of idolatry. Their eyes were finally opened, and they cried. They cried. Tears came, and then they returned. Isn't this the whole picture of the prodigal son, who, when he was in the pigsty, after all that time, finally his eyes were opened. Luke tells us, finally, he came to himself and he confessed. "I'll go to my father. I'll ask him for forgiveness," is what he was saying. Dear listener, welcome to the Christian life. This is what Paul said to the struggling church in Corinth. Listen to the words. "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of this world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner." Two kinds of sorrow. That's kind of sorrow that you have when you get caught. There's the kind of sorrow that you have when you reap earthly consequences for actions. But then there's the kind of godly sorrow that produces repentance, that leads to salvation that we receive in full at Christ's coming. What's repentance? It's returning to the Lord. It's like a giant U-turn. You're going one way in life. Finally, you see you're on the wrong side of the street. You've got to turn around or you die. That's repentance. You need the Lord. You turn back to the Lord, the safe place. You go to Him for protection and grace and forgiveness. And what does that produce? Change. You become aware of how miserable you were in the choices that you made. You want to say that to people. You know, people, maybe loved ones or children who've gone and they've lived a defecting lifestyle from what they've been trained and they know, and you want to say, "How long will it take till you wake up? Don't you see the misery that you've chosen? Don't you see that God's hand is heavy upon you and that He's not letting you rest in the sin? Look at all the conflict in your life. Look at the heavy hand. Look at the misery. Look at the tears. Look at how you're destroying yourself." And when the Lord brings about that humility and you begin to lament after the Lord, you cry for Him. You realize what you've thrown away. You humble yourself and change. And by God's grace, you are led to Him, bearing fruits worthy of repentance. It's not to be regretted. You love the new path. You love the new way of freedom. Here's the problem. Without the mercy of the Lord, it will never happen. And that voice of call can never be heard. "Return to me and I will return to you," until this sorrow is known. And this, dear listener, is what the Lord must do. The reality here, is that God was drawing his people to himself again. It's a beautiful moment here in 1 Samuel. He was ready to deliver them. They were weeping. They were crying. They desired him. So what happens? I want you to listen to verse 7. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us." Here's what strikes me. As soon as God was bringing them to the place of returning, who shows up? Who comes to attack? The Philistines, just at that moment, they attack. And here's the real test of whether they were truly repentant. When this happened before, what did they do? Well, when the Philistines were ready to attack, in pride, they took things into their own hands and they threw the ark out there to win. No prayer, no understanding, just mere presumption. But did you notice now what happened? Totally humbled, now they ask for a mediator. They ask for one to intercede for them. In other words, we need a savior. What a change from smug self-confidence and presumption, no prayer, hard-nosed pride, we're the covenant people, to a complete and utter dependency upon the Lord to ask of his prophet for intercession. We need to be saved. You ever say that? Do you ever realize how in distress you are? How blind and cold and naked you are. And you cry out because you have no power to deliver yourself. The bondage of sin and the choices that you've made are so great. You can't get yourself out. And you cry out, "I need a savior. I need to be delivered." Well, that's what happens in this scene. Israel's totally at the mercies of the Lord. And so in verse 9, Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered. Notice what happened. Everything here is built up to verse 10. Now, as Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud voice upon the Philistines that day and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. Here's my question, dear listener. You leave with this today, you'll get the whole message. When did the deliverance come? See it? They've wept, they've mourned, they've seen their sin. Here comes the enemy ready to slaughter Israel as soon as it realizes that they have come to the place of repentance. Israel has no weapons, no power, no confidence, nothing. They can't deliver themselves. They're completely at the mercy of the Lord. And as the Philistines raise their swords to strike, right at that moment, Samuel offered up a lamb. And right then and there, the powerful, earth-shaking, thundering voice of the Lord thundered down on the Philistines and terrified them, and they never bothered them again. Who did that lamb represent? It represented Jesus Christ. This is a picture of the cross. When we mourn for our sins, when we confess our sins, he points us to the person and work of his Son, whom he put up on the cross, and he says, "All who believe in him." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, or go to our website, agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.